You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All right, good morning. It's a beautiful day, and it's a new day. I'm Rhett Palmer, and we have Pastor Scott LaPierre. Am I saying it right, Scott? This is you're my first, Scott. You're my first Zoom interview. And there's there you are. Great. How you doing?
Good, good. Sorry about that. I was muted until the commercials were done. Good to talk to you again. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Great to talk to you. You're a father of how many?
We have 9 children.
Okay, 9 children. You have 9 children. You're a pastor. What sort of a church do you pastor?
Good. It's a non-denominational church, generally Baptistic, theologically, pretty conservative. And have a lot of wonderful families, and they let me preach the word of God very boldly. Nobody ever objects or says, "Hey, don't talk about those things." If it's in the scripture, they let me share it with them, which is a blessing.
How did you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Well, wonderful question. Thank you, Rhett. So I wasn't raised in a Christian home, and I went through college in ROTC, got out. I was an Army officer, and then after getting out of the Army, I was an elementary school teacher and coach, and I'm teaching. And my brother died of a drug overdose. Ooh. And there were some teachers who were Christians who had been inviting me to church regularly. And I never responded to their invitation. I never went with them. And then this one gentleman comes to me and he says, "Hey, look, you know, we've been talking to you about coming to church. But now I want to invite you to come just because my pastor lost his brother when he was about your age. I know you're struggling.
How old were you?
I was 22 at that time.
Yeah, 22.
And so he said, "Look, this isn't about getting you to come to church anymore like it used to be. Now it's just trying to help you. Why don't you come to church, talk to our pastor who lost his brother," because this gentleman knew that I was struggling. And I went to church, had no intention of being born again or saved, didn't know those terms, pretty much thought I was a good person. You know, good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. And so I go to this church. I don't bring a Bible because I didn't have one. They handed me a Bible. The pastor starts preaching out of the Bible, basically reads a verse, explains it, nothing fancy. It was a pretty small community church, actually. Read a verse, explain it, and it was a life-changing moment. For the first time, I believed that God was speaking to me through his word, and I could understand it. I heard the gospel soon after that, and surrendered my life to Christ, and then was really finding my passion for elementary school teaching decreasing, and my passion for ministry increasing. I guess you could say I wanted to tell people to open their Bibles versus tell students to open their, you know, math and science books.
Okay, so that's pretty unusual for a 22-year-old to come to know. I mean, because usually you're set in your ways. I mean, I do know when Billy Graham was giving his crusades, they said 80% of the people were 25 years of age or younger. You tend to be more flexible, teachable, pliable, but it took the death of your brother. I also lost my brother young, not as young as yours, but that certainly humbled you because you're a guy, you're a teacher. And, you know, people that are academic tend to put their brains up on a pedestal, and that becomes their higher power or their God, right?
Yeah. Well, regarding intellect or academics, I would say that I was not foolish enough to believe that the universe created itself. So even though I wasn't a Christian, I wasn't an atheist. I believed there was God out there. I didn't think we sort of, you know, like, again, I didn't think the universe created itself or that life came from nothing. I just didn't know where life came from. I knew there had to be some creator. I just didn't know him at that time.
Now, at this time, were you married when you became a born-again Christian?
No, I wasn't. I didn't get married for a few years. I actually went to this church with my girlfriend at the time, who also was not a believer, and she wouldn't go back with me. We left that Sunday. It's interesting the way that some people's eyes and ears, spiritually speaking, are opened while others are not. We had the exact same experience, heard the same sermon. We left, and I just couldn't wait to talk to her about it. And I could tell I was thrilled, and she was not even interested in returning the following Sunday. So I think we were only together like another week or two before I broke up with her. But I was just ready to get to go. You know, I left that Sunday. I didn't even get to talk to the pastor.
Yeah.
And I was already looking forward to returning the following Sunday.
It's
to hear
funny.
Another sermon.
I know a friend of mine. She was actually sucking on a bong. A bong is something with marijuana or something in it, I guess. I guess it's like an air pipe or something. Anyway, she's living with a guy. And so it's late at night. I don't know. She's by herself. And she says, "You know, I don't know what was going on in her life." She says, "If there's a God, you show up now, because I will never say this prayer to you again." And all of a sudden, this overcome with this peace and this joy and stuff. And like, and then she went to sleep. She gets up the next day. She said she smoked pot again and stuff. But all of a sudden, she asked her in-home boyfriend, "Do we have a Bible?" He says, "Bible, Bible." He went and bought her a Bible. A week, she started reading it. A week later, she says, "You're going to have to leave because I'm never going to marry you." and her spiritual life, of course, has grown and grown and grown. And it's funny, though. You can't be unequally yoked with somebody who is not a believer. It just isn't going to work. How did you meet your bride? Oh, the reason I'm bringing this up, of course, folks, we're going to talk about Scott's new book. What's the title of your new book, by the way?
Good. Your Marriage God's Way.
Your Marriage God's Way.
Book. Yep. Your Marriage God's Way, a biblical guide to a Christ-centered relationship.
Great. And so how did you meet your bride?
Good. Well, interestingly, we grew up together. So I had met her when I was, I don't know how many years earlier, 15 years earlier. We grew up together in Northern California. Neither of us were Christians. We became Christians separately, reconnected, and we're talking, and it's like, you're a Christian? You know, because I was convinced by that point that I wouldn't, as you said, be unequally yoked or marry an unbeliever. And so I learned that Katie was a Christian, and she's excited that I'm a Christian. And we sort of started talking, and I've got my list of, let's say, deal breakers, you know, or essentials. And she met those. And so it wasn't too long before I proposed and we got married.
Now, 9 children, was that thought about, or did you finally figure out what was causing that?
Yeah, people say that. Do you know what causes that? I'm like, yeah, I know what causes it. That's why I have 9 children. Yeah. You know, Rhett, when Katie and I got married, we both had the conviction to just let God be in control of our family. And it wasn't, I mean, you have 9 kids and Katie just turned 40. And it's funny, she took this fertility test because she wanted to see, you know, she should expect more children, and she's still pretty fertile, at least according to this test she took. So we'll probably have a couple more kids.
How old are you now?
I turned 44 yesterday. Yesterday was my birthday.
So you're 44. Still a youngster. And so she's the same age as you, I take it?
She is 40. She'll be 41 in October. She turned 40 in October.
Well, you know, I mean, so people are having babies now. I mean, well, you look at Sarah. Remember, she was told by the angel that you're going to have a baby, and she laughed, right?
Yeah, well said. We have a lot of big families in our church. We have women who have had children, you know, into their mid or some of them even later 40s. You know, we've had some mothers who were not able to have more children before they even reached 40. But, you know, I just do want to be clear about something, Rhett.
Yes.
This is not a commentary on what other people do, have to do, or should do. But when we got married, we just thought, hey, we want God's fingerprints on our family. We could have had 3 kids, 4 kids, could have been 2 kids. Maybe we would have adopted more. You know, it wasn't like we sought out to have as many as possible. It's just like we just wanted to reach the end of our lives. We recognize the Bible said that children are a blessing, Psalm 127 in particular, and 128 describes children as a gift and a reward and a blessing. And we wanted to view them biblically. And so we said, hey, Lord, we'll just let you give us what you want to give us. And it's not to say that it's ever easy. I mean, or that it's always easy, you know, especially for my wife who's home with our children homeschooling them, that we wouldn't trade it for anything. We're just so thankful for all the wonderful children God's given us.
But you had to die. Both of you have had to die to self considerably to have
daily
9 children. Do you two have to still work at knowing each other? And do you broach that in your book, Your Marriage God's Way?
You know, that's a great question, Rhett. I appreciate being asked that because I think that the longer people are married, the more they can become like roommates. Mm. It doesn't have to be conflict that's destroying, or I don't even say destroying a marriage, but sort of sucking some of the life and joy out of marriage. Marriage should be a passionate, it should be a gift and a joy for us.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to kind of get into a habit. And it's not that Katie and I have been married 20, 30 years, but you're looking into something that we have a lot of children that can are very important to us. I don't want to use the word distract us, but can keep us from each other, where we're so consumed with them, we stop getting to know each other like we should. And so we do have to be very deliberate in our relationship to spend time together. 1 Peter 3:7 commands husbands to dwell with their wives in an understanding way, which is really a command to understand your wife and then live with her according to that understanding, or develop knowledge of her and live with her according to that knowledge. And that's one of the things that frustrates me about the world. The world says, what does the world say about women? You can't understand them. Well, that's worldly. I mean, if God commands husbands to know and understand their wives, we should expect the world, which stands in contradiction to God's word, to tell people that they can't understand women. And so we need to make a real effort to learn our wives. One guy said it like this: get your PhD on your wife and learn everything you can about her. And so that's a regular pursuit. And I fall more in love with Katie the more that I get to know her. I'm very thankful for her.
What I'm going to suggest is, and just tell me yay or nay, women want to be loved, men want to be respected. Not that we both don't want to be loved and respected, but would you say essentially men, we're suckers for respect, women are suckers for being loved and cherished and listened to. Would you say that's right?
I agree with that, absolutely. And do I have a moment to elaborate, or did you want to go on to something else?
What I want to do is, before we elaborate, I want you to tell people, where can they buy your book? It is called Your Marriage, God's Way.
Good. Thanks, Rhett. People can find it on Amazon, ChristianBook.com, Barnes & Noble, pretty much most places books are sold. They can find my book, Your Marriage, God's Way, and the accompanying workbook.
All right. Well, thank you. If you want to hear the rest of this broadcast, please tune in 3 to 4 in the afternoon.
Indian River Real Estate, LLC, is a hometown family company. Hi, I'm Josh Stahls. My wife, Mandy, and I have deep roots in this community and are blessed to be raising our 2 sons here. Growing up in Indian River County, I understand the changing market and love helping our clients find a place to call home. Mandy and I have the tools and experience to guide our clients to the closing table. Helping clients feel confident in the buying and selling process is what we do. We can be found at IndianRiverRealEstateLLC.com or on Facebook.
He will send us the early rains and the warmth of the sun. The young ones will dream their dreams, and the elders have vision. We'll dance by the living streams, bearing the fruit of our God. We'll give thanks to the Lord of the harvest, though we may sow precious seed with our tears. By the word of our God living through us, we will not yield to doubt or fear. There is nothing too hard for Him. We can rest in His goodness. Look beyond things that pass away to what never will fade. Reaping harvests of righteousness, if we do not grow weary, the fruit of our faith by love in this present day. All that's stolen will be restored. We will not need to raise shield or sword. Every valley